The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Mind Your Business on Money FM 89.3, things concerning how you run your entity and, of course, Privacy Awareness Week. We talk about the importance of privacy frameworks and regulations in Singapore and the Asia Pacific. I mean, we all remember last year's SingHealth breach, which was the largest in Singapore. It's a timely reminder of the growing importance and continual need for organizations to reassess their approach towards their IT systems, policies, practices, and to ensure the robustness of their data protection. We're joined by Annabelle Lee, Policy Manager, BSA, the Software Alliance. Annabelle, happy to see you again.
Thank you so much for having me again, Howie.
Privacy Awareness Week Singapore was last week. What came out of it?
There's a week long of events that the Personal Data Protection Commission in Singapore here organized. So it reached out to many different groups of people, members of the public, as well as companies, businesses, SMEs, MNCs, and they convened a large number of meetings to kind of discuss privacy issues of the day and how countries in the region in particular could better collaborate together to make sure that data can flow and data is continued to be protected as it flows.
What are you seeing globally of top of mind concern these days? Trends, if you will. When it comes to privacy?
Two main developments have marked, I would say, the last 2 to 5 years in terms of the privacy world. The first one is that we see more and more privacy and data protection bills and legislations being passed for the first time in a lot of countries. We see quite a few happening in Southeast Asia, for example, in our region. Very recently, Thailand just passed their data protection, privacy data protection bill as well. And I think one of the main reasons for this is pretty much the recognition that we're now at a point where privacy and data protection should be top of mind for companies. Given that there is going to be more and more data being collected and being processed on a daily basis, that they really need to start thinking about protecting data if they haven't already been doing it.
Let's talk about how Singapore sets an example for the region with its data protection frameworks and regulations. And how that builds customer trust, obviously.
So customer trust is key to everything. Singapore's data protection law was passed in 2012. So it's a fairly young, new law, and it was kind of implemented in 2014. So what we saw was starting from about 1 year into the implementation of the law, the Singapore government started to look to see if there were more and more things that they could do to ensure that the balance between pro-innovation policies and data protection policies could be met. And I think that
Because one might hinder the other?
Well, in theory, yes. So I think that a lot of data protection laws and kind of broader data protection principles, like the OECD privacy principles, were conceived in a very different time. I mean, it was in the 1970s when these principles were written.
Not so porous, the borders then, right?
Yeah, and so clearly data was going to be processed in a very different way. It was, pretty much in a drawer in your cupboard. And the laws and the way the requirements were then formulated around those principles followed that kind of assumption or followed that kind of context. Fast forward to 2012, we started to see, I think, immense amounts of data being collected. And even 2 years after that, that amount, could have trebled,
quadrupled and
yeah,
so on.
So on and so forth, right? So, really thinking very cleverly about how do you ensure that the law continues to do what it does, which is to protect people's data, but ensures that, companies and businesses and services and people can continue to have access to all these great internet-based services and continue to have it function in a way that makes sense. Laws that were conceived back in those days may not have that flexibility built in. They were certainly not built for the internet age. And so I think the Singapore government has thought very carefully, and I think in this regard have done quite a number of very, very interesting policies to
strike that fine balance. Yeah. How willing are organizations these days to reassess their approach to their IT practices and data protection? Sadly, is it pain of death that makes them do it that all these laws and regulations are coming in?
So I think that increasingly companies are becoming more and more aware. And speaking, say, in the Singapore context, for example, privacy is a very cultural concept. And I think Singaporeans, we were very used to, say, for example, giving out our NRIC number for any reason, even to exchange for a small free gift from the supermarket or something like that. So I think when the law was passed in 2012, the Personal Data Protection Commission did a lot to do outreach to SMEs and local large enterprises as well, to explain the importance of privacy and why some of these concepts and principles should be incorporated. What then subsequently happened was that obviously, with compliance issues, there will be breaches, then there will be decisions and there will be fines. And so, of course, that's a motivation to get people thinking. But I think increasingly companies are recognizing that trust is key. And if your customer doesn't feel like they can trust you because they don't know how their data is being used, or they're not confident that you're protecting their data in a good way, then, your business is as good as dead.
Let's talk about some of the limitations of cybersecurity, if there are, or just the way in which you want to build up a more robust, cyber secure environment.
Yeah. So more data is being collected and processed, and it's necessary. It's brought a lot of very, very good services. One of the challenges is that they're always going to be bad actors, right? And with cybersecurity,
at this stage, dare I say it, they seem smarter.
Well,
the breaches are getting cleverer.
They're faster, right? They're going to be faster than laws and regulations, no matter what governments do. And I think this is where it's so crucial to enable companies like a lot of our members who offer really good, top of the line, world class kind of services, software services and products that build in, top-grade cybersecurity. Because one of the things that you need to do as a company, if you were just trying to do this yourself, is basically constantly monitor for these attacks, understand the difference in attack vectors, and respond and build up enough infrastructure within your product or within your company to be able to respond to it and protect and mitigate against these attacks. Now, that's not to say that, it's all doom and gloom. Data breaches do happen, but they don't happen every day. And a lot of that...
Or is a company's cybersecurity systems going to have to look like a casserole of sorts, like taking in everyone's solutions and
in theory, I think every company needs to think, and I guess that goes back to your initial point, very meaningfully about what these IT practices that they've put in place should look like. Often leaving it to the IT guy is no longer going to be enough because he's not going to have necessarily the bird's eye view of the company and their strategic aims in terms of trust building. For example, in the data protection role, there is a data protection officer. It's required by law in Singapore that someone be appointed that role. And so that person's meant to think more generally about how and when and where you collect data, why should you be collecting that data? If you do collect that data, when you've gotten it, how are you going to store it securely? How are you going to continue to process it securely? Part of that is thinking about what good services you can procure. Part of it is also risk assessment, thinking about whether or not, if you're going to be processing this data and it's perhaps a bit risky, could you buy a good security solution or procure a good security solution that would meet that level of risk? And I think that's something that internally and increasingly companies should do more and more. And thinking about also how by outsourcing, by buying that cybersecurity product, it does help to mitigate and manage, especially if you're a small company. And you
that,
don't
that's
have
another
the
challenge
to
too, isn't
that.
It, Annabelle? In or out? Do you want to outsource your cybersecurity framework or do you want to do it in-house? Annabelle, over at the BSA, the Software Alliance, what other challenges are you seeing companies face at the risk of piling on the gloom and doom? Is there, for example, a fine line between, say, protecting privacy and invading privacy?
And this has certainly been how a lot of privacy laws and regulators have started shifting the way they speak about it, thinking through kind of accountability and risk-based assessment. So what that means to say is that if you're going to have a customer, think about why you're collecting that data, whether what you're doing with their data is reasonable. Frankly speaking, a lot of the time, companies may not have thought that through in the past, prior to all these issues coming up. And the reality is that customers could find out, now more so than not, probably will find out what you're doing. And eventually, when that happens, you're going to have to be accountable to that. And that's a commercial risk that's been modeled into the commercial risk now, which is a good thing. Because in the past, if this wasn't top-line concern at the C-level, for example, then, companies just wouldn't have an incentive to really think through these processes as much.
Annabelle, earlier we talked about how the breaches or the attackers are that much quicker than law. In your opinion, how effective have the laws been so far? For example, in Europe, the GDPR, here in Singapore, the PDPC.
So I think it's a very good question. And I think that generally, and I've said this before, when you're looking at actually applying a law, the bad thing has happened already.
Yeah.
The breach has occurred already.
You're being reactive,
yeah,
not as much on the forefront. Yeah.
So as much as regulators can come in and issue penalties and fines, or alternatively issue directions to say improve your systems in a certain way. While these are constructive to a certain extent, it doesn't prevent what had happened from happening. So I think what the Singapore government, for example, does very, very well is think through how they can clarify processes for companies large and small in Singapore before the fact, right? Because once and that's where I guess if you can come in and you can say, look, here's a good guide to think about. And the range of issues is very, very broad. It ranges from, you know, your typical IT security issues all the way to thinking about the shredder that you outsource to and whether or not they actually decided to pulp the paper that right. you deem confidential right. or whether they just dumped it at the bottom of their office block and left it there for anybody to take. So, you know, they've issued a huge number of guides and guidelines, and I would strongly recommend companies here who are thinking about compliance to look at that. Of course, another thing is understanding how you can use existing software service providers in particular, who have really, really good tools in place to help control and manage access, for example. So you may not want to give any employee in your organization access to a database containing a lot of personal data. You want to make sure that only the people who need to see it, and make sure that there is a way of verifying that they're seeing it. And by allowing data to flow as well, what I think a lot of our companies have very innovative solutions, they can see how employees have been, using the data as well, in a sense. So if you see odd activity, like someone's downloaded very, very many databases of things he shouldn't have been looking at or shouldn't maybe be wanting to look at, then, that would be a flag up. And that could send, a dashboard signal to whoever's in charge of IT security in a company to look at that. So I think thinking about the suite of solutions, and I do agree, it's challenging, especially if you're resource constrained, but it's important. And I think making privacy or data protection, cybersecurity as well, a C-level concern is probably the best way to ensure that these risks are heard at a higher level.
Given it was Privacy Awareness Week last week here for Singapore, where do you think awareness levels are at this point?
I think we've done fairly well. Unfortunately, I don't have the exact figures on with me, but I think that awareness levels have definitely increased over the years.
Have we managed to change some of those stereotypes that perhaps the smaller businesses have? I'm not important. Who cares about my data?
Definitely. And I think that, in fact, the PDPC, again, has done a very good job at publishing decisions that they've made in relation to breaches. And you'll see that a lot of the decisions that they've made, especially where they have gone out and fined companies, are small companies. Because it's not because they don't want to go after big ones, but that there are a lot of very, very simple, straightforward breaches that were preventable that could have happened, but they didn't prevent it and it happened. And so in that regard, I think, every company should be aware that this law is applicable to them. In terms of broad-based awareness as well, I think the members of the public in Singapore are a lot more aware of this need for data protection, much more.
Here's hoping action comes into play, Awareness is one thing, doing something about it is another.
Definitely. And so I think those two forces, between your customers asking for it more and between the government, potentially,
hopefully is the fire lit under the backside. Okay. Yeah. Annabelle Lee is policy manager at BSA, the Software Alliance. You can check them out at bsa.org. That's bsa.org. Annabelle, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.